Hey, this is Winston Zeddemore, CEO of Zeddemore Industries and member of the original Ghostbuster team. You're listening to Why We Bust, brought to you by the Windy City Ghostbusters and Memoriam Development. We're talking about members in the community and giving back. So suit up, shut your traps, dial in your PKE, and keep busting, because it still feels good. And before you ask, no, I did not catch the number of that ghost train. Sorry, I missed it.
Hello, everyone. The Windy City Ghostbusters are excited to present the preeminent show focused on the charitable side of ghostbusting. And the point of this show is really to meet all the incredible people from all over the world that dress up like khaki-covered exterminators, lugging around 30-pound light-up backpacks, all in the name of putting smiles on faces and helping their community. Really just trying to find out what makes them tick and hear their take on Why We Bust. Today is a special edition of Why We Bust. We come to you an hour later than normal, as we wanted to make sure we were coordinating with a very special group of people. We have kind of the brain trust behind whoyougonnacall.org, some of the well, I don't want to overstate it by saying the brightest minds in the community, but definitely minds within the community.
The best ones that were available on such short notice.
But we had, as far as, you know, an exciting weekend for those of us that prioritize the charitable side, the giving back side
of being a Ghostbusters. All right, so where are we going?
Norm, are you still, whose voice is that?
That's Norm's.
We're live, we are uncut, and Norm is about to, if we start hearing him at a urinal somewhere, it's going to be a Naked Gun type situation. But
I'm calling him now.
That works. But just want to, I'm going to let everybody introduce themselves. But the purpose of today is to go over the big exciting news that the Ghost Corps and Sony put out this past Ghostbusters Day, and really focusing on the Ghostbusters give back. So without any further ado, I would like everyone to kind of go around. We'll start with Pete and introduce yourselves to the audience and you know what group you're with and we'll kind of go from there.
Sure thing. I'm Pete Natale. I'm the community outreach coordinator for the Hudson Valley Ghostbusters and the lead backend engineer for whoyougonnacall.org.
Cool.
Yeah.
I'll go. Hi, I'm Ryan Espin. I am president of the New York City Ghostbusters, and I am one of the co-founding members of whoyougonnacall.org. I handle the front end. So if it looks good and works fine, then my job is done.
I'll go. I'm Jacob Bartlett. What am I now in Circle City Ghostbusters? I'm the marketing director of Circle City Ghostbusters. Mm-hmm. And I am also one of the founders of whoyougonnacall.org. I do the pretty picture art. And I've also contributed quite a bit to the date entry. So that's my thing.
I'm Joe Riccadelli. I'm with the Atlanta Ghostbusters. I think the last title I made up for myself was Senior Public Operations Technician. And I do some, I've done some of the back end some of the email side of whoyougonnacall.org.
Does that leave me?
That leaves you the best.
It does.
Oh,
last hey there, but not least.
Oh, hey there, everyone. You may recognize me as the original host of Why We Bust. It's me. I'm back because I am also one of the admins on the whoyougonnacall.org website. I am just some guy on the project. I handle the data entry side somewhat. I help contact problems. Let's see here. And then I help, I'm just some guy.
He's excellent for morale.
I think they just keep me around as like the puppy of the group, like the Slimer pet. You know, they're doing all the work. I'm just the thing in the background.
I like that.
It's funny actually that me and Jacob are here because we were the antithesis of the original, like, beginnings of whoyougonnacall.org. It started with a map that we didn't make first, that we just took over, and then it became a database.
Nobody else was doing it, and you decided it needed to be done, and so you did it.
We took it over from Stephen Greenwood.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Stephen Greenwood used to keep up with the franchise maps when we were kind of just blossoming, and then it became too much for him. And then one day I was on the phone with Jacob Bartlett, and the next thing you know, here we are later with three other individuals despite the two of us. And here we are now.
It's exciting. And I think, you know, as great of a resource as it has been so far, whoyougonnacall.org is really going to shine with the new initiatives that Ghost Core and Sony put out over the weekend. And you guys are linked right there on the main page for the Ghostbusters Give Back initiative. And that was something that when we talked to Eric, it was a little funny. You know, we wanted to, you know, when we were talking to Eric before our interview, we were all very focused on making sure the news did not drop too soon. And we arranged all of our information to come out at midnight on the 8th. And then after Jason made his announcement in the middle of the 7th, it was like, okay, well, I guess it's not going to be so much of a surprise come midnight, as it really took off and was news, you know, everywhere I was turning within the community. So I'm excited at the level of excitement that people have. And one of the reasons for those of you watching and listening is one of the reasons I have everyone here is I want to make sure that we use, you know, part one of the ways we use the Why We Bust show and podcast is to help folks that are looking to improve the way that they can, you know, raise money and organize their group. And I think everyone here has experience, you know, doing that. They are part of a 501c3 organization. And, you know, for those groups that are just getting started and still kind of in a growth mode, you know, hopefully we can be a good resource for people. So this will be the start of, I'm going to try and put different series together to help organizations that are looking to improve. And I'll be trying to pick the best minds that we have access to come and talk on certain subjects. And with this one, you know, I guess we really quick can go over what exactly the Ghostbusters Give Back is for those that haven't heard of it. And I can be really quick, essentially starting the 8th. So yesterday through June 8th of 2026, or I guess June 7th of 2026, if you go to ghostbusters.com or sonypictures.com/ghostbusters/charities, you can register your organization with the Ghostbusters Give Back. And what you'll do there is register with Ghost Core and Sony, and you'll be able to track your fundraising over the year. And as you hit different milestones, Sony and Ghost Core are going to send out different ways to recognize you, whether it be patches. The top team is going to get, at the very least, some sort of trophy. We don't quite know exactly what that trophy is going to look like, but there's going to be plenty of public recognition. And not that that's why anybody is doing this, but how cool is it that we have sort of the home office, the main folks over there at Sony and Ghost Core that are going to be, you know, paying attention and matching donations as well to go towards the Starlight Children's Foundation, which we've all been sort of seeing in the news as hospital gowns are being, you know, delivered to different children's hospitals with Ghostbuster theming. So if I'm leaving anything out that you guys know, let me know. But in a nutshell, that's sort of kind of where, you know, where we're at with this. And I wanted to make sure I brought you all together, as some folks are going to look to really step up the fundraising. And I know, you know, James, our, you know, producer, he and I were talking after our interview with Eric, with my co-host Matt, and just the different ways that sometimes you can sort of get a little complacent with what you do at the shows that, or not the shows, but the events that you attend as a Ghostbuster, and there could be ways to be a little bit more proactive and make sure that you're, you know, working on making it easier for the ask. No one likes to ask for money, but that's why we're all out there. And you know, if somebody is really enjoying the booth, enjoying looking at all of our little toys that, you know, that we have and playing games, there are ways, you know, it's okay to say exactly what you're doing. So I want to make sure that we brought folks together so we can talk about, you know, if you can look back at when you started to what you know now, you know, are there different things that you can do to help? But first off, just throwing it out to the group. So I'll stop talking here, but, you know, what were your reactions? Cause I know this is something that's sort of been teased in the past and, you know, this actually came together a lot faster than I thought it would when I first kind of heard Eric pitching, you know, the concept a year ago, but what were your thoughts when you heard this come through?
I was excited by it, to be honest. I like the idea of having the different badges awarded for different milestone, like fundraising thresholds. I think that's a great initiative, and it should encourage the larger Ghostbuster community to kind of do that. You know, speaking about whoyougonnacall.org specifically, we have badges for franchises that participate in nationwide Ghostbuster events, like our toy drives or the Proton Pets initiative, or the playing card deck from last year. And I mean, you know, having physical badges and little, you know, knickknacks like that, I think is a great step forward in the right direction. And I love that Sony recognizes some of the hard work that has been going on in the Ghostbuster fan community and have been really, really supportive when they don't need to be. And they completely are just blowing us all away with how supportive they are of this all.
Yeah, it was great that Senpai noticed us. I mean, we've all put in all this work, and to get, you know, that kind of recognition from Sony and from Ghost Corps is incredible. I mean, they've helped us out here and there along the way, you know, but nothing like this where it's really getting kind of a big spotlight put on it. I think it should honestly help everyone get their game upped a little bit. You know, a rising tide's going to hopefully raise all ships here. And I was super excited when I found out. We actually found out a little early because we got a zine put out for Ghostbusters Day. Ryan's showing it off on camera right now. Yeah. And so we had the big 2-page spread from Sony, which was just crazy. We had to keep it tight-lipped. Thankfully, we didn't leak that out. So we did our part. We did okay.
Print still not dead.
Real quick, Thou Gmail, thank you so much for the follow on Twitch for the Windy City Ghostbusters.
Yes, thank you.
And then we have our first question, Pat.
Can you read that to me, Bob?
Yeah, from Ecto Fox. Does anyone know if the milestones need to be achieved all in 1 year, or can you work your way up to the larger amounts over a few years? So I believe we're asking if those can be rolled over. I think we should go on record by saying we don't know anything.
Yeah, not yet. And I know I've
safely bet that it's probably year by year, but we'll see.
Agreed, I bet too.
Those are, you know, my first thought when I kind of heard those markers were those are very bold goals for an organization to hit, to kind of hit some of those markers. So, you know, if that's something that might be adjusted over time, to make some of it maybe more achievable for different groups or have tiers of, you know, organizations to give it, you know, who knows? I'm not speaking with any, of course, and please, everyone, I am not speaking of any point of knowledge or authority ever in my life, and especially not not on this. But I think we'll see some. This is a first year, so you know, why not shoot for the stars on some of that? But please don't hesitate to ask questions, because I am going to try and keep a tally of what we get over the next few days, and we'll be I'll send those out to the folks on the West Coast to see if we can get some clarity and answers and bring them back to the community as well. But thank you for your question. I think that $150,000 match that Sony is putting together, that I was sort of blown away at that. That is a huge number for them to agree to. On this, I can't think of another community that's seeing that from the stakeholders of the fandom. That was pretty impressive, and I think it just kind of goes to show how seriously this is being taken. And I think all it gives us a chance to really shine, and on the positive side of things. But you know, so let's say I am a franchise that I've been around a year, where, you know, we're growing as rapidly as we can, but still a little unorganized, as we're just trying to still gather, you know, places to go and get our name out there.
Oh, that doesn't get better. Yeah. You're going to be disorganized forever. Sorry.
Hey, yeah, that's never going to happen.
Yeah.
So essentially, you do have to work through the chaos or get used to that chaos or that unknown. What are the basics of folks that maybe we've been raising, you know, we're coming away with, you know, 25, 30, 40 bucks, you know, raised at an event. How do we start to see those kind of numbers, you know, go up? What are just some basics that you guys know that have made the difference as you grew in your experience? Bob, you raised your hand.
Yes, I did. I'm going to go first because I'm going to be dipping out early, which I'll explain why here at later. But
colonoscopy.
What's that?
A colonoscopy.
No, I'm going to be streaming after this, but I didn't want to shamelessly plug
you're
in the
streaming
middle of
your colonoscopy.
You're killing me, Pat. My word. Anyway, no, what I was getting at here is my two suggestions for a newer group to kind of get their feet wet, per se, is recruitment is key. You need to find good people who are willing to put in the effort and the hard work to do with these events with you or help pitch in ideas, whatever it might be. And the second one is network with your local 501c3s or other Ghostbuster cosplay groups near you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, networking is the most important for any kind of public event that you want to do, whether it's charitable or not. Just having a person that knows someone at the hospital or can connect you up with a person that runs a venue, things like that are always really important, because it helps to streamline actually getting to the point where you do the thing you want to do. I think one of the earliest things we did was with American Cancer Society, like the Relay for Life, because they have a really easy process to sign up for it. And one of our founding members worked for the American Cancer Society and suggested it. And that was, I wouldn't have known how easy that would be if he hadn't suggested it to me. So.
Yeah.
We've had tons of luck with that. Oh, go ahead, Ryan.
Okay. No. To chime in on all that networking, for sure. And what we found to work super well in NYC Ghostbusters is, because we have such a large group, having those members bring their own networking options to the table is crucial. You know, it's like in Extreme Ghostbusters where Egon says, you know, you should never Ghostbust alone. That's very true for running a Ghostbuster fan group. You should never do it alone. You should definitely be open to recruits at all times, because you never know what someone new is going to bring to the table and what avenues it may lead to. So definitely keep your eyes and ears open for new members.
It's a great thing to ask a person that's asking if they can join the group of, what were you seeing yourself doing? What are you excited to do with us? And like, what kind of things have you done before that you'd be interested in doing, or, you know, want to like propose? Because it gives you a nice baseline.
This stuff just isn't cosplay, right? Like, what we do is more than that. And I think that that's kind of the big thing is, you know, I'll go to cons and I'm not trying to knock anybody, but, you know, a lot of cosplayers just kind of want to show up and hang out in a hallway and take pictures of each other. And that's fine. God bless you if that's your thing. But what we do is got, you know, some wheels to it, and you got to keep that moving forward, and you got to put some real time and, you know, effort into it. It becomes kind of a part-time job in a way.
Absolutely. It's hard, I imagine, you know, as you're starting out, you want to make it as easy as possible to grow the group and to add members. But you're absolutely right. There's a difference between, there's an attitude of folks that just want to be around other like-minded individuals that like to throw on the jumpsuit and put on a proton pack and go kind of you know, go role play for a little while. And it's, but it, you do have to take it like it's a job. And that's the attitude I try and take every time I show up. As fun as different events is, I have to maintain like the attitude that I'm there to raise money. I'm not there to socialize, which is why, you know, I refuse to talk to anyone in the group. only communicate with people that are attending events.
Sound like a valuable member.
Only approach someone if it looks like they have money. That's the number one.
Oh my God.
If they're wearing an Apple Watch.
If they have a living mink coat, you know.
Yeah. Or just a Monopoly guy just walking down the street.
No, but you know, you do have to, it's really easy to get sucked into the social aspect and just socializing with the other members that are there. And what that tends to do is I start to notice folks will start to kind of huddle together like it's a pitcher's mound. It's
the caravan. That's visit. What I call the caravan of proton packs.
Yes. And and that's actually those proton packs. It's a very closed off. When everyone starts talking in a circle, it you're very closed off and unapproachable as well. So
radiation alone.
Yeah.
You know, I don't have any problem most of the time with people chatting, but because I think that all this should always be fun, and it will be, but you've got to figure out how to make, you know, raising money fun, not just for yourself, but for other people.
It's the priority. It's got to maintain number one while you're there. And one thing that I'll throw in as far as when I've seen nights be more successful than others since I've joined Windy City is whoever is sort of taking point on the event, when they rally everyone together right before the event starts and give everyone purpose, say, okay, here's what I need you to be doing here. I'd like you to be focused on this and making sure everybody knows that, remind everybody, you know, that this is what your job is going to be today. You are going to be focused on, let's bring people over to our inflatable Stay Puft and take pictures here. You are manning the tables. You guys walk around and funnel people to the tables where you can, making sure everybody has a purpose and keeps your mind focused on why you're there. I've noticed a huge difference in days where we do that compared to where we kind of wing it.
Mm-hmm. And, you know, that actually leads me to a great point, Patrick. One of the tips I was going to say is play to your strengths. Not everybody's necessarily made for the spotlight. Some people are better off behind maybe the slime making table or taking donations for merch. So play to your strengths. Know where you are the best at.
Mm-hmm. I think you answered the question that we had in chat just now, Peter, which comes from Fox once again. We have a lot of introverted members. Do you have any recommendations on how you can make them feel comfortable and raise money? And I think you knocked it out of the park just by that explanation yourself.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. I'm an introvert as well.
No.
It is a challenge for me to kind of flip the switch. I can flip it. I'm in sales. And I am drained by the end of the day. So I will say, I know folks are more, some folks are it's a little harder to flip the switch than others, but I have to work for it. And one thing that helped me when I started with the Ghostbusters is I was paying attention to the tenured people and how they pitched our group and being a 501c3 and how they kind of summarized our work with La Rabita Children's Hospital. And I remember walking the dogs and talking to myself as I'm going around the blocks, just working on that pitch in the days going up to our event and just getting that repetition and feeling comfortable pitching what you're doing. It's amazing, you know, there's how many people don't do that. And as a result, never really broach the subject. But if you can get kind of the muscle memory where you can just rattle out 30 seconds or 10 seconds as far as what you do, what you're raising money for, and then just end it with, you know, if you have, you know, we'll take a dollar, but if you have 10 or 20, you know, you can get, you know, get this patch or get this, these stickers or, you know, something that, and maybe that's another thing to bring up too, is incentivize the donation. Have a few things that are not going to cost a crazy amount of money, but will be fun to get. I know at Windy City, we have public facing arm patches and those things go like hotcakes at events. And some folks do challenge coins, posters, coloring books. You know, there's a lot of different ways you can do it and reach out to, you know, on Facebook or reach out to anybody on this team. If you have,
you know, questions on how to go about getting stuff, people will help you get in there.
For a while there, I was making a different button pin for every event that we were at, and then I pared that down to like per season or what have you. That started to get ridiculous, but we had people that were following us around because they wanted to. They started a collection. They needed to be completionist about it. I was like, yeah, okay. I was kind of hoping this would happen, but also this put some pressure on me. I kind of just did this.
Serves you right for doing something really creative and interesting.
Found a creative outlet. Then suddenly people were paying attention to me and wasn't ready for that. But yeah. Yep.
One major recommendation I have for raising money is gamification. You should really, if you make a game out of it for people, like, you know, donate a dollar. Like, so at Circle City, we have a spin wheel that we'll use. You know, donate a dollar, spin our wheel, get a prize every time. I mean, it sells itself, really. People see a spin wheel, they want to spin it. That was the original idea there, was just like, get that going. Every time I've seen a kid react to a spin wheel, they go crazy. You know, but yeah, just gamify it. So we have a few different games now that we'll run. It feels like being a carnival barker some days, but it's all worth it, because we end up bringing in a lot more donations when we have options and activities for people to do versus just, you know, buying something off the table.
And there's a few, when you go look on Amazon at spin wheels, there's a few kinds. There's tabletop ones, but I would suggest, if you have the means, splurge on one that can stand on its own or stand above the crowd. Because exactly what Jacob is saying is, you need that visual appeal to draw people to your table, because there is the, ooh, what is, what's on there? I gotta check it out. So if you have games that are just kind of table-based, or you can't see if someone's standing in front of your table, that's not going to be drawing people in. So if you do have things that are going to be seen from afar, that's, I think, a huge difference. And I was actually just talking to folks on our team about this, a couple days ago. If we can get things that are seen from far away. But we did also get Ectofox wanted to know, Jacob, you know, what items are you offering on the spin wheel? How are you, you know, separating that stuff out?
So we'll do stuff just as small as like individual little, you know, fun size candies to we've gotten a lot of gift cards from local businesses and stuff. Places that, like, one year we marched in a parade behind a Torchy's Tacos truck. And they loved us, and we interacted with them, and they ended up giving us a bunch of free taco gift cards. So we've got stuff like that. I've got a button maker as well, so I've made some custom buttons. We'll get stickers and, you know, all kinds of stuff like Twinkies, you know. Try to keep some things on brand for sure. But, you know, it's kind of just whatever we can get. We've got, like, a prize box that's basically just like a dentist's office prize box where there's tons of stuff in there. One of my kids grows out of having a toy or whatever, we store it in there. No need to yard sale. But yeah, stuff like that. Little vials of slime, whatever.
Yeah. I found a kit of a bunch of glow in the dark, like various like rings and bracelets and things like that. There was just so many of them for like not that much money, just a lot of them. And
yeah, you get that kind of stuff. And you know, the whole thing with our games is you donate to play them, so it's really like you get a prize every time. Therefore, it's not gambling, and then, you know, the kids get excited about little prizes, and adults get excited too. Again, like things.
Can we pause on that, Jacob? Before we get too far, you did bring up a good point, as far as there are rules. What can be considered gambling? What can be considered selling? You know, groups need to be keep, especially if you're looking to be a 501c3. Can anybody kind of touch on some of those?
Yeah, I can. Mind? That's why I was trying to be the stick in the mud, because as part of the New York City Ghostbusters, we do those sort of things in New York, but in New Jersey, gotta be careful, because there's a whole like gaming commission that we gotta worry about, and then like an annual license that we need to pay for. So verbiage is key. We don't sell anything. We have everything as donations, gifts with donation, you know. So
we do that too.
So, you know, knowing some of the legalities behind running these fundraisers is crucial, because you don't want to have your group get in trouble. So that's the that leads me to another point, though. If you are running a franchise, be ready to be serious if you're trying to go for these goals. You know, our group has been around since 2012, and we became a 501c3, I believe, 3 years ago, 2 or 3 years ago. And a lot of things have been very different for us as soon as we hit the 501c3. In good, you know, it's a lot more work. Like Pat, where you were saying that it is work, and it definitely is. There's definitely more work involved, but you know, the avenues it's opened and all the resources we now have is outstanding. So it's definitely worth it if your group gets large enough that you want to, turn it into a 501c3 entity in the United States.
Thank you for that. I appreciate it, because I know that I had, like, you know, early on, I said, I think it was after the slime recipe for Frozen Empire kind of was on the Adam Savage video. I was like, why are we not just making tons of batches of these and we can sell them at the table? And now, you know, multiple people suddenly perked up and said, no, do not say sell. It is
we
not,
don't sell.
That is not what we do. We do not sell anything.
That's correct.
And Joshua in the chat, he's been giving out some great ideas. So thank you for contributing in the chat, Joshua. And I've been seeing those great ideas come through and wanting to make sure we get to them at certain points. But he brought up being taken seriously and ways that you can do that. And that is one of those. It doesn't happen overnight. It's going to take some time, but you're going to meet those people. Somebody that is considered important at, you know, a local government level or at a, you know, a major, you know, attraction in the area, but folks that you can then, you know, lean on, hey, we've been working here doing this and raising money, but, you know, that's, you know, name dropping, you know, credible people is going to get you very, very far. And don't be afraid to let people know, hey, do you mind, as I'm looking to grow this business, can we mention that we work with you, and or even ask if people would mind being a reference. That's how it works. That's where keeping that business mind, you know, forward, can really help. Go ahead, Ryan.
The other thing I want to bring up for sure, because the Ghostbuster franchise community has gotten so large, and I think the five of us on the WhoYouGonnaCall.org team, I believe none of us founded our groups that we're a part of, right?
I did.
Or did Joe did? Okay, except for Joe. Yeah. But he's the only exception.
It was a group effort, but
yeah,
a few of us were in a different group and then split off.
All right. Well, aside from Joe, I do want to just raise the importance that, you know, if you are brand new to this whole thing, I strongly recommend always looking up where your local franchises are, if there are any, and reaching out, because what's most important is may not be starting a franchise from scratch, but you as an individual being in a franchise and bringing that franchise to new levels. So many of our groups that we see here have risen because of the members and what they bring to the table. It's not just a one person thing. I strongly suggest that to everyone that's watching that's considering starting a franchise. Go to whoyougonnacall.org. Find the local one first. You know, use our search field. If you have any questions, just email us too. And if you're looking to start your own, by all means, start your own. But definitely see what's out there before jumping right in.
I want to add to that. That's always been in the spirit of Ghostbusters ever since the 80s, back when some of us, myself at least, was running around with the Kenner pack. There were teachers writing letters to Dan Aykroyd and people that worked on the real Ghostbusters saying, we love that our kids are playing Ghostbusters because it's a collaborative team effort thing where they're not just after each other or against each other. And I think that's a spirit we can latch onto in this pitch, in the fundraising efforts of we're doing this collaboratively.
And I always say that, like, to my team especially, I always say, you know, we couldn't do this if it was just, you know, me, or if it was just me and a couple other guys, or if we never got any new members after, you know, I joined or whatever. You never know where a great idea is going to come from, and you never know who's going to be your next, like, rock star on your team that just kicks butt and has that drive and that passion. And so, yeah, definitely join your teams. And if you are a team, be open to those people and encourage everyone else to, you know, get those kinds of moments and share that spotlight with them, because you just never know, like, how it's going to pay off in the end. And yeah, for me, it's paid off in dividends.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, if you're just starting, it's your baby, and it's hard to give up a little bit of control. But I don't know, raise your hand if you're on this call and somebody clearly has talent and drive and is offering to take something off your plate and run with it. How many of you are turning that person, you know, away? No, if you feel that there's an area you can contribute to, even if somebody else is doing it, at least ask if you can help, because I think just being able to lighten the load, you know, goes a real long way. So don't be afraid if you think you've got a little bit of know-how.
Oh my God, preach, for real. I love delegating as much as possible, because one, it gives that person, like, you know, the drive they want. Like, if they want to go for it, yeah, they're going for it, you know. And two, you know, there's so much things that are that need to be handled, so we have enough members that we can just delegate whatever to, you know, to whoever's willing to do it. And if they're, you know, we have an infrastructure where we have a board, and within that board we'll have, you know, just general members and probationary members, and we try to get everyone involved as much as they want to get involved, you know. Because I saw Ectofox in the chat too mention that, like, yeah, there are definitely members that join and just kind of want the patch, you know, and they may show up for one event or even no events, you know. But what I always like to say is that we know that real life comes first. We're not telling you to ditch your day job, ditch your family to be a Ghostbuster. That's just ludicrous and ridiculous. But what we are saying is, however much you want to put into it, you are likely going to get exponentially the amount of effort and enthusiasm out of it. It's, you know, it just cascades because it's infectious within the whole group. So.
Absolutely. And I do, Ectofox, you just had a good question, and I want to touch on that after I ask this to the group. Because we're talking about utilizing members that have a certain skill, but there are also, you know, you can, they're more often than not, you're going to be in a position where you want to achieve something, whether it's a snazzy website or better marketing, and that's just not up anyone's wheelhouse. How have you all, you know, if, or how are you currently, you know, assessing areas where you see others being a little bit better and you want to close that gap, but don't have anything, you know, immediately in front of you? How have you been able to sometimes do that? And I'm sure there's plenty of areas where you currently are not, but have you had any success in utilizing, you know, other folks outside of your own groups to kind of help move the needle? I hate saying the phrase move the needle, but yeah, Ryan, go ahead.
Yeah, I'd love to. We honestly don't do it until someone is really into it, honestly. You know, I'm a web designer, and I was lazily not making the NYC Ghostbusters site because we had a Facebook page, so I could just redirect to that. And then you all probably know how that ends, right?
Yeah.
So
what, you mean the reason why we made whoyougonnacall.org?
One of the reasons definitely why we made whoyougonnacall.org, because of the flagging of Metabots. But, you know, and our group didn't become a 501c3 until we actually had an accountant in the group that was willing to do it and loved to do it and wants to, you know, gung-ho. So, you know, it's all a matter of when the right people come, then that aspect can happen. I don't think you should really focus yourself on trying to change to something you don't want to do. You know, when you start doing things in a group that you don't want to do, you're more likely going to leave that group at some point, you know, or, you know, or be frustrated and be angry. And we don't want any of that in any Ghostbuster group. What we want is to make sure that you as an individual play to your strengths, and eventually the right individual will come. You know, like one day we'll get a lawyer, and then, you know, that'll save on that fund.
Then we can sue everyone.
Then, you know, I mean, you know, so play to your strengths. But also, on a side note, let's talk about art really quickly. There are plenty of individuals out there that are fantastic for handling art. So if you need like a logo, you know, reach out to our favorite art boy over there in the corner, JB. Howdy.
I have done banners and logos for other franchises. I am open for commissions. Message me for rates.
Yeah.
Yeah. I've done a couple of logos for other people when they were, I've seen an MS Paint logo. Someone was, you know, their heart was in it, but they didn't have a background for it. I was like, would you be insulted if I made something up for you? I'll use your design. But like, they were like, oh yeah, but by all means. And now I get to see that out there on the internet.
That's fantastic. And yeah, that's the generosity of the community.
Yeah.
Is definitely there. Pete, go ahead.
I was going to say, you know, it's not really necessarily art related, but, you know, it's, again, playing to your strengths and, you know, coming up with ideas. One of the things that we had like joked around about in Hudson Valley was doing a green screen photo booth. And then we had one of our members does photography. So he set us up with the lights and everything. And I wrote a program to do on the fly chroma key. And now we have a green screen photo booth at some of our bigger events.
That's cool.
And you see, that's because cool. You guys are playing to your strengths, you know,
synergizing.
That's what you got to do. You know,
can I point out somebody, can I point out something that played to strengths that Peter actually helped out with a lot of us to do? Yes. Peter has, from the 501c3s, Peter has found so many resources for the 501c3s that you get for free that you would otherwise have to pay obscene amounts of money for. Mm-hmm. And taking advantage of those free systems have been so helpful. So here's Peter coming in for the swing. He knows his IT stuff, and he knows what companies are doing what. So that actually kind of worked out for us. So hats off to him for something like that.
Yeah, thank you. You know, go ahead, Bob.
Problem. There was another question in the chat I didn't want to go unnoticed. It was from Facebook. Where was it? It came from somebody up here. Oh, Lewis wants to know about custom QR codes and how are they? Is it easy just to get a custom QR code made for your group to get it linked to, you know, either a charity of your choice or to your own bank account if you're a 501c3? I'm going to ask somebody else that question because I'm not that person.
I can take this one. QR codes are super easy to get. There are online QR code generators, if you just Google it, that can get you something that's serviceable.
Literally, Google has one.
Yeah, absolutely.
If you have Adobe InDesign, it's got a QR code generator in it. There are some different websites that if you pay for a service, you can have what's called a dynamic QR code where it actually will link to a link basically on their site that redirects to whatever you want. So you can actually keep the same QR code and change what it directs to. But that's probably a little more complex than anyone needs. I would just Google like QR code generator or something and see what kind of free options are out there for you. Or ask someone that has access to Creative Cloud and InDesign and see if they can, because it shouldn't be as too difficult for you.
QR code monkey has been pretty good for us.
Yeah, I've always generated one, and then I will make like a tiny URL link for things like, you know, toy drives, that kind of thing, and I'll put the URL underneath it just in case people don't have the ability to read the QR code, and that will work for temporary stuff. I haven't made anything that had to last a super long time, but I could easily point it to our website that isn't going anywhere.
One more thing, if somebody's just now joining us, we do not have 100% specifics on how the Ghostbusters Give Back project works. We are not, we don't have the answers for that. They're just kind of using who are you going to call .org as a tool? We don't have any specifics yet on how things work yet.
And I'm not sure that, I'm not sure that they know exactly how it's going to work. I think they're waiting to see what the response is, and then they're going to respond back.
And if you do have questions, you feel free to shoot them over to the Why We Bus Facebook page. Make a post, send us a message. I don't have necessarily the answer for it, but if I start to see that there's a few questions that are coming in multiple times, or if I think it's a really worthwhile question, I'm going to do all I can to try and get an answer for you as well. Can't say exactly how fast it'll be, but I think it's good for the folks at Sony too, to get some feedback as to what people need clarity on here as well. So feel free, reach out. I'll use whatever resources I can to try and get some answers and share them with you either on the show or on our Why We Bust Facebook page as well. I can shoot out a few clarifying questions.
If you go to ghostbusters.com/register, that'll take you directly to this page specifically, by the way, for Ghostbusters Give Back. And that'll have all the information for logging, is for submitting information about your team.
Yes. And
once you read that, you know what we know.
Exactly. That's all we know. I don't think we were able to give a disclaimer. We did one earlier in the show, but just in case you're just joining us and you're having questions about the Ghostbusters Give Back project, we know as much as you do.
Right. If you watch our interview with Eric Reich, that's all I know. Everything that was on that is as much as I got out of it, but I'm happy to try and get answers where people are seeing some ambiguity. I did hear there was something that I want to touch on before we leave. We talked about, as teams are growing and looking to be taken more seriously, different groups have different ways of vetting new members or a probationary period. Some folks, if you just show up, you're automatically in. But how, I know how Windy City does it. And Bob, were you a part of when Windy City kind of put their rules in order? Well, I don't want to ruin a bad memory. I can recap it for everyone if you'd like. But
let's have you answer the question, because when I did mine so long ago, I couldn't even. You tell the updated one, the current one. Before you do, I have to get skedoodling over to my stream. Can I do a selfless promotion real fast?
Because I think thank you for attending.
It has to be selfish promotion.
Yes, please, Bob, please.
All right. So something I do, guys, when I'm not a Ghostbuster or working on Why We Bust or whatever else I'm working on, my primary role is I'm a paranormal podcaster and spooky game streamer on Twitch. I think Norm, if he loves me, is going to raid my channel after this. You guys on Twitch will be kind of coming over. I'm playing some new games from Steam's Next Fest, which is all done by small indie companies for the most part. So that's kind of cool. I'm going to get bouncing so I can go get started on my stream over there. I will put a link in chat in the individual site so you guys can go over there and follow me and say hi. And I am family friendly. If there's a family watching, you guys could tune in. But thanks for having me, everybody.
Bob, it's always a pleasure. It means a lot when you share your time with us. So thank you for coming on.
Of course. See you guys later.
Love you, Bob.
Bye, Bob.
Bye, guys. Bye, Bob.
But, so getting back to the, well, I'll share how Windy City does it. If anybody else has different ways that you've tweaked it, or please share. But at Windy City, we essentially, you reach out to the team. We kind of make sure that you're aware of kind of the minimums of what we need from you, which isn't much. Put on, if you got a flight suit, and boots, that's pretty much not even the boots. You got a flight suit, you're pretty much, we can start there. I think when I joined, they said I could even, if I didn't have a flight suit, if I can get close to like the Ghostbusters 2 courtroom, outfits, we could work with that. But from there, you attend your first event, and we make you come to four events. And so we'll, then the leadership will vote on you. And at that fourth event, as long as you haven't done anything that raises eyebrows and makes us feel that you might not be, safe to trust around, family friendly, events. I don't know how many people are not, welcomed in, but we have those three or four events. You're voted on by leadership. And then we initiate you at that fourth event,
typically, and that's enough for us to make sure that you're aware of what we expect out of the events. We've spent enough time around you to see you interact with folks so we can kind of trust that you can kind of move forward from there. But that's what our vetting process is. And does everyone complete it? No. But at the same time, you want people that you can start depending on and are going to become, you know, comfortable selling your brand and your initiatives. And so if you can get people to make it over the course of 1 year, if they can make it to 4 events, you know, become a member, then all the better. How is anybody else doing things a little bit differently?
Yeah, I'll start this one off if it's all right, guys. So in Hudson Valley, we start off a little bit more bureaucratically. We've got like a 5-page Google form application. My wife is a librarian, and I took a lot of cues from her teen volunteer application. If you make it really long, it will weed out the people who, you know, will likely just not put the effort in. And so we do that, and then we have usually a 3-on-1 interview or so, where 3 of us interview the candidate, and then after that, we decide if we want to accept them as a rookie, and, you know, for the most part, we have, and then we, you know, bring them into our Discord in a limited capacity, and then they have to do 2 events, you know, pretty much the same as Windy City was doing, but instead of 4, it's just 2, and then after the 2 events, the leadership votes, and most of the times people have gotten patched because everybody just seems to come in and they knock it out of the park. And if they're not coming after they get made a rookie, then they're not putting the effort in and they just haven't come back.
Yeah. I'll add to that only because ours is very similar. It's the, if you have someone, if one of our members wants to vouch somebody in that does shortcut it, but you can get just show up to an event, show off your stuff, and if someone vouches that you are definitely good at playing with others, then and working with the public, and aren't going to be an issue, then you can get in and get a patch as long as you come and have some sort of a costume, something that works with the Ghostbusters and fits, you know, matches the rest of us in some way. But if it's a new member asking, first, you know, we ask, why do you want to be in the group? What do you see yourself doing? You know, make sure that they understand what they're signing up for. If they're still enthusiastic, they have to have some sort of uniform or costume, and we'll help you, like, help people come up with something if they're like not sure. We're like, oh, these are good ways to do this, you know, inexpensively or easy to access. And the first, you know, time we meet them, they'll come to an event that we're doing. Anyone who was in that event takes an assessment of them, and then we sort of decide behind the scenes to reach out and invite them to another one where they can get their patch.
Yeah, ours is pretty similar actually to all this, right? Because we do the same thing, two events, but we also first we start out with a Google Meet video interview. We also have a background check process, so it's it's $25 for that process to be done. Afterwards, we do the 2 events, and if everything is okay, you know, at least 2 events, and if everything's okay, you know, we will meet and determine if they've passed the probation period, or, you know, for the most part, they have. In which case, it would be a $30 annual fee that includes your patch, your challenge coin, and an annual gift. We communicate all through Slack, and everyone gets their own at NYC Ghostbusters email address, so we can just contact everyone internally. And we also go through what we do as a group. One of the questions we do ask that's very important to us is we make sure everyone who's signing up knows that our primary charity is the Trinity Place Shelter, which is a homeless shelter for LGBTQ youth. So no bigotry allowed.
Yeah. That's definitely on our guideline sheet as well. Like,
yeah.
Yeah.
And I think that's important to have as well. Like, cause you're going to want to make sure that you're not going to run into folks that are going to suddenly put up walls of what they will or will not you know, participate in, and as that can get messy and lead to some lead to some discomfort within the group.
Absolutely,
as well. And Jacob, before I was going to ask Ryan a quick follow up. Was there anything you guys do differently in at Circle City?
Ours is changing. We're incorporating background checks where we kind of haven't had the capacity to do that before. But we definitely incorporate a little bit of everybody's. So we have like an online form. We have people read all of our rules and everything and sign off that they read it and that they agree to it before they come out to anything at all. So that was basically that.
Perfect. And so this will be my last thing that I want to, because I think it'll be helpful for folks listening. So we got a couple minutes. Don't want to run too far over because I want to make sure we were able to raid Bob when he starts. But Ryan and Jacob, you both mentioned background checks. I think that's something Windy City has dabbled in at times. But how are you going about collecting that fee? And what does that process look as far as taking in that background check fee? And are you doing it? Are you putting the onus on them to go? So like, can you explain that really quick? You know, how that process works.
I'll have Ryan explain it because we're in the process of adopting that. So
Okay. Nothing's
finalized yet.
So what we do is if you're serious about joining our group, we ask you to either provide your own background check. So like a lot of teachers, for example, will have their own background check information that we could take a look at. It's a $25 fee to a separate service that we use. They send us a $25 through PayPal or Venmo or whatever they want to pay. Then that third party sends them a link to just put in their basic information. We don't see that information. Like they have to put in their social, for example. We don't see the social. It's handled all through the third party. All we see on our end is a green check mark or I don't know what the other side is because we've only had green check marks. So I'm sure
probably a red circle with a white X.
Thumbs up, thumbs down. You're not seeing someone's.
But basically, it just goes through different, you know, registered sex offender lists, and it goes through different like criminal lists, and just make sure there's nothing that comes back with that information.
I appreciate you sharing that, and I think that's as groups are looking to get. We talk about being taken more seriously and making sure that. If you do want to become a 501c3, these are all really important steps to take. And I do want to think we have had a really active chat. So I do want to thank everybody in the chat that was asking questions. We didn't get to all of them. So feel free if there are questions that we did not answer that you do need or you do feel are important or you want information on, shoot me a note on Facebook or go to the Why We Bust page and we'll make sure that we do get them answered. If you guys, I thought this went well, and one of my initiatives kind of going forward is I'd like to take time to do little series on getting a little hyper focused on ways that people can get better as a franchise and kind of get into the minutia of things. So hopefully we'll be tapping different people with different strengths across the community, but we'd love to, you know, at different times have you guys back on. To share your thoughts when it plays to one of your strengths. So, we're here. We're up against 9. I want to make sure Bob gets his time too. But I can't thank all of you enough for coming on today. It means a lot to share your time and share your knowledge, especially in short notice. We kind of threw this at you, just a few days ago. So I think everybody that watched has come away with something. I know I did. It's just great to hear. You know, these are things that we don't always get a chance to stop and share, you know, things that are working, things that aren't working. And I think this is a great leaping off point to start helping folks in the community as they look to grow. And Pete, did you want to say something?
I was going to wait until you were done, but I can words people. That's all. I had one more tip that I wanted to give before we signed off for the night. All of us here, all the guests here tonight are all in leadership in their respective teams. And one thing that good leaders need to do is recognize when someone is doing a good job and let them know that.
Great point.
Yeah. You're doing a great job, Pete. I want you to know.
Thank
that.
Thank you, Ryan.
I think you're okay.
Thanks, Jacob. Appreciate it.
It does go a long way. I think, I think that is huge and a great way to kind of wrap things up. But because there's way, you know, on your whatever group chats you have, throw kudos to somebody that you see kind of going above and beyond. It will help motivate them to continue and to be, you know, not feel that their efforts are being wasted. So on that note, thank you everybody for joining. Thank you everyone for putting in your time and energy to make whoyougonnacall.org such a great site and great resource that's even being recognized by the folks over at Sony and Ghost Core is something they trust to send people to. That's a huge, huge accomplishment. So you should all be proud of yourselves, and except you, Jacob. But
don't worry. There's nothing but hate for myself going on in this build. All right.
If you got an ego, you'd be dangerous.
Well, I can't thank everybody for joining enough. Thank you, everyone in the chat. It was so great to see your questions. And again, some of them we didn't get a chance to answer today, but we'll be doing similar conversations to this in the future. So shoot them my way if you need something answered right away. But don't hesitate. As you see, we'll post topics that we're going to talk about in the future, and hopefully we get to answer, you know, more than what you can even think of today. So on behalf of everyone at Windy City Ghostbusters and Why We Bust, just want to encourage you to keep tuning in, like, subscribe, do everything to kind of help our algorithm so more people can hear us. But we will be back next week, and just kind of searching for the answers to the question, why we bust. Take care, everybody.
Bye.
Memoriam Development.